Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
I think you can find it through love. The beautiful thing is that we aren't moving wrong when we do it, because John was right, God is love. He who hates does not know God, but he who loves has the key that unlocks the door to the meaning of ultimate reality. And so I say to you today, my friend, that you may be able to speak with the tongues of men and angels. You may have the eloquence of articulate speech, but if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, you may have the gift of prophecy. You may have the gift of scientific prediction. And understand the behavior of molecules. You may break into the storehouse of nature and bring forth many new insights. Yes, you may ascend to the heights of academic achievement so that you have all knowledge. You may boast of your great institutions of learning and the boundless extent of your degrees, but if you have not love, all of these mean absolutely nothing. You may even give your goods to feed the poor. You may bestow great gifts to charity. You may tower high in philanthropy. But if you have not love, your charity means nothing. You may even give your body to be burned and die the death of a martyr, and your spilled blood may be a symbol of honor for generations yet unborn. Thousands may praise you as one of history's greatest heroes, but if you have not love, your blood was spilt in vain. What I'm trying to get you to see this morning is that a man may be self-centered in his self-denial and self-righteous in his self-sacrifice. His generosity may feed his ego, and his piety may feed his pride. So without love, benevolence becomes egotism. And martyrdom becomes spiritual pride. I want to say to you, as I move to my conclusion, as we talk about where do we go from here, we must honestly face the fact that the movement must address itself to the question of restructuring the whole of American society. There are 40 million poor people here. One day we must ask the question, why are there 40 million poor people in America? When you begin to ask that question, you're raising a question about the economic system, about a broader distribution of wealth. When you ask that question, you begin to question the capitalistic economy. And I'm simply saying that more and more, we've got to begin to ask questions about the whole society. We are called upon to help the discouraged beggars in life's marketplace. But one day we must come to see that an edifice which produces beggars needs restructuring. It means that questions must be raised. You see, my friends, when you deal with this, began to ask the question, who owns the oil? You began to ask the question, who owns the iron ore? You began to ask the question, why is it that people have to pay water bills in a world that's two-thirds water? These are words that must be said. I don't think you have me in a bind today. I'm not talking about communism. What I'm talking about is far beyond communism. My inspiration didn't come from Karl Marx. My inspiration didn't come from Engels. My inspiration didn't come from Trotsky. My inspiration didn't come from Lenin. Yes, I read Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital a long time ago. And I saw that maybe Marx didn't follow Hegel enough. He took his dialectics, but he left out his idealism and his spiritualism, and he went over to a German philosopher by the name of Feuerbach and took his materialism and made it into a system that he called dialectical materialism. I have to reject that. What I'm saying to you this morning, communism forgets that life is individual. Capitalism forgets that life is social. The kingdom of brotherhood is found neither in the thesis of communism nor the antithesis of capitalism, but in a higher synthesis.
Listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had one of those weeks that you would be proud of. We'll walk around here in the city of Benton Harbor, Michigan, and I tell you, it's here. Oppression is here. Even the prosecutor, the judge, they believe in bonding people over for trial with no evidence at all. That's right. This is one of the few cities or states or counties that you could be bond over for trial with no evidence at all. And I'm concerned about that, because here in the city of Benton Harbor or Barron County, we normally have an all-white jury, which is motivated by something other than the truth. And this is what the judge and the prosecutor, Michael Sepik, a known racist, a born racist, is doing. So we're here to fight this thing, and we need your help. We're on our way to the appeal court. We have accumulated $3,500. We need another $1,500 to make this thing a reality. But that's just the first step. Or we got to go to the second appeal court once they deny here, because we'll be back in Barron County. But that's how it goes. But we are here to fight, to show people who we are and what we're made of. But on that note, I got to bring in my good friend, John. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I just want to send heartfelt greetings to you from the people of the Tomorrow Monday movement here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, appreciate that. Appreciate that. Look, tell us a little bit about that Tomorrow Monday.
Well, first of all, I just want to just say a little more about that. You know, I went to a Tomorrow Monday meeting, planning meeting here a few weeks ago, right after we heard about the situation that's developed in Benton Harbor there, and everybody was just, appalled at what was happening. A lot of people had already heard about Benton Harbor, and they wanted me to convey, their most heartfelt solidarity with you. And the people of Benton Harbor, because we really do see a lot in common with what's happening there and what's happening in Georgia and all across the South, really.
Absolutely, but, because, here we get strictly voter suppression here, because for a recall petition, they sent the SWAT team out to my home, surround my house, blocked off streets for a recall petition. And to me, it doesn't make it. I don't think it was designed to intimidate me, because that don't intimidate me. But it might intimidate the people that's not conscious of exactly what's going on. Absolutely,
well,
John.
I know that, you know, the Moral Monday movement kind of got started in North Carolina last year. And, you know, what has been going on is that, you know, the governments in the southern states particularly, but I know it's very much the case in Michigan as well, have been really moving to an extreme form of politics, as they call it there, where, you know, they're really coming down hard on the people, where cuts are being made to education, to health care, where there's voter suppression going on. And all of those things, people just finally got to the point where they say, we're not going to tolerate this anymore. This is really immoral. You know, it's unjust. And we've got to step forward and oppose this and begin to confront it and to overcome it. And so, you know, one of the things is kind of a sign of where things stand today is how there's a real rise of civil disobedience, and the Moral Monday movement in North Carolina last year had over 900 people go to jail, you know, to stand up for what they believed in. And here in Georgia, we got started, you know, after we were inspired by North Carolina, and we've been confronting the same kinds of conditions here. And one of the main things that we have been struggling around is this whole question of the expansion of Medicaid. You know, we've got 650,000 people in Georgia who do not have health insurance, who could be insured with the expansion of Medicaid. And it's free money from the federal government, and yet the governor and the state legislature here refuses to accept those funds. And it's really a life and death matter. It means that people are going to be dying every day here because they don't have access to that kind of health care. So
well,
I was one
is that because the governor refused to accept those dollars?
That's right. He has steadfastly refused to accept those dollars, and then the state legislature one-upped him and made it. They passed a law that he could not even have the power any longer to accept those funds if he wanted to. That it had to pass through the state legislature.
Mm.
And, you know, they've got an extreme majority here, a super majority, and they can just about put through anything they want. But I was
wow.
one of about 39 people who were arrested here back in, I believe it was in March when we were opposing this or trying to get this Medicaid expansion passed.
Mm. So actually, Atlanta, Georgia, are you in Atlanta, Georgia, is that correct?
Yes.
So you're really a spinoff from North Carolina.
Yes. Well, actually, what has been happening is that the Moral Monday movement has been spreading across the South. We've had quite a successful session during the legislature here in Georgia, but they now have chapters or Moral Monday movements that have begun in South Carolina and in Florida and as well as in other states. So it's really spreading.
Absolutely. I would like to see it spread up here. Matter of fact, I would start a Moral Monday up here because it's really about voter suppression. That's really what it's all about.
Well, that's right, and that's one of the things that we had had a Moral Monday gathering at the state capitol for 12 weeks in a row, and one, you know, some of that was on around Medicaid expansion. Part of it was around education. There's like been over $8 billion cut from the education budget here. And it's been around voter suppression, and kind of related to that, was, you know, we made a real effort to try to get the Stand Your Ground law here repealed. But, you know, of course, that was we were not able to get anything done on that as well. But I certainly see, you know, like in Michigan with the emergency manager laws that have been passed, that where they've taken over governments and thrown out people who have been elected to office, and, you know, just really I kind of see kind of like it's like a, you know, the development of a real police state where, you know, they carry out their will as opposed to the will of the people.
John, you know, you're right on point too, John, because that, you know, I can say this about Barron County, I can say this about the state of Michigan. It is a police state. They do their will, whatever it is, because it's the people are not conscious of exactly what's going on. And, you know, they wait until something happens, then they want to fight. But my thing is this. I think even in time of peace, we should be preparing for war, especially against these guys, because they have the resources. They're using our resources to destroy us.
Well, you know, I really do think, and what I see is from what has happening in Michigan and in Benton Harbor and here in the South, that there is, things are beginning to change as far as people's thinking is concerned. You know, there is a growing awareness. You know, the kind of the main slogan or banner that stands for all of the Moral Monday movements here is forward together, not one step back. And you know, when you think about it, that's a pretty important kind of a posture to take. You know, first of all, I think together, you know, I think like kind of you mentioned, there have been, you know, the way we've kind of struggled along is if people have been struggling against this issue or that issue, but separately. And defensively, you know, trying to hold on to what's being taken away from them. And I think the movement here is, you know, finally got to the point where there's an understanding that we are in all of this, in this all together, and we have to stand together as one. There has to be solidarity and unity around all of these issues. But forward, I think, is, you know, also the other thing is that we're not going to be tolerating this anymore. We're not going to just accept it. We're not going to be defensive. We're not going to beg. We're going to grow a movement that is going to be capable of standing up to and overcoming these forces that are opposed to us.
Absolutely, I tell you, and here's what the people have to understand. We're all in this together. I can't understand how people could not get that through their thick head. Whatever my issue is, it's your issue. And whatever your issue is, it's my issue. And if we stop thinking like that, we become great in numbers. And that's our goal, to become great in numbers. Until we become great in numbers, and, all we're doing is spinning our wheels. We have to get out here and educate the people about, whatever the issue is. I want to join. I want to be part of it. I don't care what they're talking about. I'm going to be part of it because I know that it's all about the numbers and waking up the people. And I believe it's coming. I believe the people are coming. Here, even in the city of Benton Harbor, I have never saw people so alert about issues. That's in reference to me. That I'm proud right now. I'm proud to live in Benton Harbor. At one time, I said, no way. I said, I want to get out of here. But then, no, you have to stay here and go head to head, chest to chest, eyeball to eyeball with these people. And that's how you win this battle.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that is a kind of a growing attitude that people are taking. You know, it is the understanding that an injury to one is an injury to all, and that we have to stand up for one another. You know, but along the lines of what you were also indicating, I think, is kind of borrowing a line from the Occupy Wall Street movement. You know, it's not one thing, it's everything.
Yeah, I love that saying. It's not one thing, it's everything. And, you know, I'm not mad about one thing, I'm mad about everything. I'm not fighting one thing, I'm fighting everything. That's how I feel about this situation. And I think people should have that attitude also.
But, you know, I think another phrase that kind of captured people's imagination out of the Occupy Wall Street movement, too, was this whole thing around the 1% and the 99%.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of the beginning of an awareness of not really a class consciousness yet, but an understanding that we are, you know, in this together, and we have a common enemy. And I think that's the other thing that people are really coming to understand is it really seeing how these corporations have come in and taken over the government and are running it in their interest and are privatizing everything and are using passing legislation that redistributes the wealth in one direction, that is in their direction, and we're seeing this growing polarization of wealth and poverty, and this is what we're really fighting, really. I think that's, you can talk about all these different issues, but that's what it really comes down to. That's where the battle lines are really being drawn.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with that 100%, especially with these corporations. We have our very own Whirlpool here who controls the courthouse. They controls everything. Everything that goes on in the city goes through them. You know, one perfect example, one of the vice presidents of Whirlpool Corporation, his son has so many counts, must have maybe 15 charges of felonies on his record. And what they did, they kicked everybody out of the courtroom and went in there. Now, by him being vice president of Whirlpool, they kicked everybody out of the courtroom. And then he came out with a little misdemeanor charge and one that he could take off his record, you know. And, you know, it astonished me to see some of the stuff that goes on and the people say nothing. We have to change the way we do business, John. We have to change the way we do business. And like I said, the people are coming. All we have to do is keep fighting. And I believe the people will come. You know, it may not seem like it's a lot, right now, but it's a lot of people that's waking up. And, John, I'm prepared to take this thing to a whole different level to show them. Because, hey, the revolution is now, whether we like it or not. It's right now. So let's build this thing up. Also, how do I... more money. I really would like more information about that because I really want to be connected with you down there in Atlanta and in North Carolina, and so the people here can maybe see things a bigger picture.
Well, you know, I was going to say that you could go on the internet, but I understand that I couldn't believe it when I heard this that they have banned you from using a computer in your home. Is that correct?
Well, they had, but we went in there and beat them down, and they realized that, you know, what they was doing, what they was breaking the law, you know, is very unconstitutional to even insist on something like that. And they have the nerve to have me under house arrest, you know. But they just wanted to try to silence me. They just tried to figure out ways to neutralize me because, hey, every single day I'm fighting. When I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to fight. You know, and they know, and I'm planning my day, so they're trying to figure out how they're going to stop Pinckney. And, you know, I respect what they did because if I'm making that much of a difference, then I have to say, whoa, you know, and other people begin to see it now, you know, everywhere you go. So, I'm you know, I can get on the computer now, and I'm also no longer under house arrest.
Well, oh, you know, you're not under house arrest any longer.
No.
Oh, that's
no.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great news.
Absolutely.
Because people here were just horrified when we heard that. We just couldn't believe that for a charge of voter fraud, as bad as that sounds, to talk about putting people under house arrest for that is just unheard of. And then banning the use of the internet. I don't think that's ever happened to anybody ever before. That's just, you know, it just is an indication of the lengths that they're willing to go to try to stifle any kind of dissent or protest.
Absolutely. John, you are right on the money, John. You are right on the money. Absolutely. But listen, you got about 3 minutes, John. You can say whatever your heart desire. And, I mean, you know, you're a tremendous guest. I appreciate you. And what I'm trying to do now, we're $1,500 short of our goal to get to the appeal court to get this transcript. See, the thing is the transcript. We got to get the transcript. And we're working on that. They're slowing it down. We're supposed to have it in 7 days. They were going to allow us to pay after they complete it. But it's been 21 days now, and we still haven't got it. And they're trying to rush this trial. They want to try to have a trial July 22nd. We're trying to get to the appeal court, not just the one here in Barron County, but we got to go to the one in Grand Rapids. So we got our work kind of cut out, and they know it, but they desperate to get this trial started, and we're kind of desperate to stop them. So on that note, you got 3 minutes. Say whatever you want.
Well, I certainly appreciate, you know, and I'm honored to, to be on your program and to be talking with you. It's really good to hear your voice. But I just wanted to say in terms of, support that we will certainly do what we can here to, help you raise those funds. And, one of the things that we do have here is the People's Tribune, which has been faithfully carrying your story for a while. And so, we'll get the word out through that and in any other way that we can. But I think, the only thing I'd want to say is just how it is that I see how we are in a common struggle here. Michigan is kind of like it's Michigan up south now. There's the conditions in the south and in Michigan are not that different anymore. I even heard a reference made to Benton Harbor as being like the new Jim Crow. Mm. Well, we certainly know about Jim Crow here, and though the efforts to try to relive that history, and that's the main thing that we are opposed to, and that we are making a fight for, because this is a immoral, evil regime that we're living under, and we've got to do everything we can to, inspire the people to stand up, in mass, and to really build a new world, build a better world.
Absolutely. But John, listen, I just started a petition on change.org. Matter of fact, at this time, I'm the only one who has signed it. So, listen, would you kind of like direct people to change.org and have them to sign my petition? I do have a petition on there, and I'm hoping that people would sign it, and I'm hoping to have maybe 10,000 signatures within the next couple of weeks or so. So I'm out doing stuff, trying to get people to sign it. So if you can do that for me also, John, I would really, really appreciate it. And I'm going to give Sandy Reed your regards. I'm going to let her know that I talked to you, and I really, really enjoyed you being on the radio show today.
Well, I will certainly do that, and it has been great talking with you.
John, you have a wonderful day, and let's talk soon. Let's see, can we get some of them get some of them funds, that $1,500 we need.
All right, I sure will.
All right, thank you, John. Have a great day. Absolutely. That was wonderful. We were still here in the city of Benton Harbor fighting this regime that's absolutely outrageous. Nobody will believe today that you can go to jail, matter of fact, go to prison, with no evidence. they're counting on a jury that's all white. On that note, let me bring in my good friend, my guy, Larry Pinkney, the man of the hour. My guy, Larry Pinkney, are you there?
I am indeed, brother, and as the previous person you were speaking to, as John said, it is delightful to hear your voice strong, vibrant, and determined. Thank you for having me, my brother. Love you.
Hey, it's my honor, man, to have a man of your caliber on my show. You know, we don't get too many Larry Pinkneys, you know, and you're a true hero. We want you to know that we love you. And I know this for a fact, there's never been a fight you didn't like. So, you know,
that's right.
We're into this. But what I want to ask you about, I want to talk a little bit about this prosecutor and this judge who is tag-teaming on us, trying to rush this trial on. Like, he's talking about having a trial within the next 30 days. They haven't even got the transcript for the appeal. They're holding back on that. They promised that we would have it in 7 days. Now, you know, it's been almost 3 weeks now. We still don't have it. And he's still talking about he want to go to trial on the 22nd of July. So we know how they operate. But the point is, the world don't know how they operate. And so what we got to do, we got to educate them on that level. Larry, talk to me about a guy being bonded over for trial with absolutely no evidence.
Well, what we're dealing with here, my dear brother, Reverend Pinkney, is we're dealing with, let's be honest, let's be real, we're dealing with an apartheid situation. And in this case, we're talking about you and the struggle in Benton Harbor, Michigan, or perhaps we should call it Benton Harbor, Mississippi. Perhaps we should call this entire country America, Mississippi. Anyway, the point is that they know, and by they, I'm talking about the authorities, the judge, the prosecutor, and all of their nefarious minions and supporters. They know that it is absolutely imperative to, if we're going to talk in terms of having any kind of justice, even a semblance of justice, that you must have the transcript. Why? Because the transcript holds information that relates directly to this so-called trial that they are so anxious to get on with. And, of course, they're anxious to get on with it because it's a show trial. In other words, it's not a real trial. It has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with the rights of the people in Benton Harbor, and I'm talking about everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, just everyday, ordinary, struggling people. It has nothing to do with our human, civil, and political rights, nothing to do with that. So, of course, what they are engaging in under a veil of so-called integrity is they are, in fact, engaging in obstructing not only justice, but democracy. We've got to understand what we are actually dealing with, whether it's Democrat or Republican. It's irrelevant. We don't have wings. It's not left wing, right wing, as Dr. Martin Luther King pointed out in the speech that played just prior to the introduction to the program. You know, the reality is we are in this struggle together, like it or not. We are in this struggle together, and we're in it to win. And our interests, our common interests, the interests of all people, that we will have a common victory. That is to say, a people's victory. The fact that you're moderating this radio show right now, the fact that you can now use the computer, the fact that you're no longer under house arrest, you know what? That's a people's victory, spearheaded by your tenacious, ongoing, unrelenting efforts on behalf of the people, not only in Benton Harbor, Mississippi, okay, Benton Harbor, Michigan, but on behalf of all the everyday, ordinary, struggling people, brother. So the bottom line is, of course, they want to continue to obstruct justice by denying not only you and the attorneys involved, the right to this transcript. Because why? It's not just denying this to you. It's denying the information that these transcripts hold to the people. It's denying it. That's why I refer to it as obstructing justice. And they're doing it right in front of our very faces. We've got to stand up and say this will not be tolerated. It will not be tolerated.
And you know, Larry, the good thing about this is spreading all over the country. You know, I was on a station out of Japan the other day, and yesterday I was on the one out of Iran, and every you know, they want to know what is going on in Benton Harbor. But it's not just Benton Harbor, Larry. It's all over this country. It's
right.
All over this country. So what we going to do? We're going to have to come together and fight this monster. And we can win. We can win, Larry. But all we have to do is sit down and analyze our position so they can understand exactly where we're coming from. And some of us going to have to take a bullet or two. You know, let's face the facts. You know, I have taken a bullet for the cause. So I think people is just going to have to take a bullet for the future of our children, black white, Mexican, Chinese. It doesn't make a difference. We're all in this thing together.
You are right. You are absolutely right. And the reality is such that we are in great peril. We are in great peril, and we must act. This is not a question of whether we want to do this. We must do this, because I love the word that you just used, Reverend Pinckney. You said future. If we are to have a future, then that means we must act now, collectively, together, united. And whatever differences we may have, we will do as Brother Malcolm X said, and that is we will have those differences in the closet, and we will come out united, united. And it's something else that Brother Malcolm X said. He said that when it comes to the North and South in this country, he said everything, okay, that is South of the Canadian border, everything that is south of the Canadian border is the South. So let's understand that. And it really is. Whether it's Benton Harbor, Michigan, whether it's New York City, whether it's Washington, D.C., or New Jersey, or California, or Minnesota, it's all the South. That is to say, the mentality of apartheid. But this apartheid is directed against all of us, everyday ordinary people, by these corporate blood-sucking monsters and this corporate stream, lying, vomit-filled so-called news media.
You know, you are absolutely right on point, too, because nobody will believe, you know, what they're trying to do now. You know, but we have to understand that we have to take a stand. And let's, you know, these corporations, Larry, we have to come against these corporations. We have to show them what we're made of, because what they're doing, they're sucking all the resources out of all the communities. And I can see what they're doing here in the city of Benton Harbor. And they got these flunkies working for them. They got judges, prosecutors, they got them all working for them, you know, kissing their butt, and then they think they're part of what they're trying to do. But I tell you, Larry, We are in a fight for our life, and I'm still trying to raise this money to make sure that, you know, we have the resources, or at least I have the resources to go to the appeal court, not one, but two of them. We're on our way to two. We got to go to two of them within the next 25, 30 days. So they're doing what they do, and we got to do what we do. But I believe fighting back.
That's right. And as you always say, stick and move, stick and move.
That's right.
Stick and
That's
move.
Right.
That's what
right.
It's about, and
Larry, that's exactly what we're doing, Larry, and we stand on top of this and making sure that we don't have any regrets at the end, which is the most important thing.
That's right.
You know, because if we're doing all the things we're supposed to do, then we'll win this battle.
That's the point.
That's right. Even if they have a whatever day we have in court, we'll be ready for them, and we're gonna beat them down anyway, whatever it is, because they know what they're doing is not right. But we got to show them. We got to make them either put up and then shut up. So that's how we do that.
That's right.
Larry, listen, you got about 4 minutes to say whatever you want. Say whatever your heart desire, and I'm going to bring in my good friend Ralph.
All right. Well, let me say this again. Congratulations to you, to the people of Benton Harbor, to the people of Michigan, and indeed to the people of this nation for your beginning victory. This is small but important, extremely important. The other thing I want to say is that it is imperative. I urge everyone listening to the show today to dig deep. Dig deep. I know how difficult it is, only too well. We've got to get the funds to Reverend Pinckney and Bunko. We've got to get the funds. We must do this because he must have the tools to stand up against this monster. So I'm just going to conclude by saying I'm so proud of you. As you well know, what do they call us? The Fighting Pinckney.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm so
back
proud
to back.
Of you.
That's
back
right.
To back, my brother. Back
Amen.
To back. I'm so proud of you and the people in Benton Harbor and, frankly, the people around the country, be it in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, New York, or California, or wherever the people are in this nation who are standing up and fighting. I'm proud of all of us, that critical mass of people that we need. There is an awakening going on. Don't expect to be told about that awakening by CNN and MSNBC, ABC, PBS. Don't expect. No, we need to communicate just as you've done for so many years. We need to communicate with each other. We need to be our own media, as you have shown. And as you, over these years in Benton Harbor, my brother, have made crystal clear, and you did this years ago, made it clear that Benton Harbor was going to be the precursor, if you will, the precursor for what they have now done in Detroit. And that's what they want to do. They want to turn this entire nation into a Detroit and into a Benton Harbor. We will not allow it. And as the brother who was a former president, and who was overthrown thanks to the U.S., but as Brother Maurice Bishop said from the tiny nation of Grenada, okay, forward ever, backwards never. All power to the people, my brother. All power.
All right. Listen, don't forget to go to change.org and sign my petition and send it out to people for me, too.
You know I'll do that. Absolutely, my brother.
Absolutely, my brother. All right, now, I will be talking to you soon. You have a wonderful day, my brother.
You too, bro.
All right, all right. Let me bring in my good friend from New York, the guy with all the muscles, the guy that who's only hitting in the right direction, one of the greatest activists that have ever lived, Ralph Pointer. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney, and I'm here with Sister Lynn Stewart, listening to the program and discussing what has been going on. Now, because of Lynn Stewart, we know what is possible. When you make the impossible possible, then you have been in and begun a struggle. And with the help of your great help and the people listening to the program, turn the impossible to the possible. And as I stated before, I'm sitting here with Sister Lynn Stewart enjoying the program. And one of the things we were smiling about was that when we were looking for attorneys in the Detroit, Chicago area to coalesce with your attorneys and to fight this issue, one of the things that came up that made us smile, and they would say, "Where is this?" And we would say, "Benton Harbor." And they'd say, "Ooh, that's bad. Barron County is bad. It's going to be bad." And so we just had to chuckle. And I said, "Well, yes, they know. When we talk about going to jail without evidence, they know that you went to jail for quoting the Bible. You got to be careful what you say in Barron County with the judges." And so the issue that I would like to talk about today is what gentlemen have been talking about previously, is that this is a worldwide movement. We have to understand the importance of Reverend Pinckney and the movement against the corporations that are stealing public land and privatizing everything. And your struggle to stop this becomes central worldwide. It's not only in Michigan, Detroit, Chicago, San Francisco, and all of the so-called representatives, or many of the so-called representatives of the people, are very much involved with friends and corporations selling off public land at pennies on a dollar to private corporations with the excuse that we're in trouble economically. Well, we're in trouble economically because of the corporations, Wall Street, and the banks. And we can't go to these same people to help us out. These people continue to steal from us. And we say, well, it's become a nationwide, a worldwide movement to fight this. Well, how is it that we haven't beaten them a long time ago? And we know the answer. The answer is they play the race card. Because everyone alive in America knows that every progressive movement in America, I'm talking about public schools after Reconstruction, I'm talking about human rights after Reconstruction, I'm talking about the struggle of Fannie Lou Hamer, the right to vote, I'm talking about women's rights, as they call it, the civil rights movement changed America for everybody. But who was in front of that? People of color.
Christmas addicts.
Let's go back to Christmas addicts who said no to British soldiers. This is way back when resistance started. Christmas addicts was black. And we can follow this history and very carefully, not to diminish anyone else's struggle. But we are the bottom rung on the ladder of oppression. And the only people below us on the ladder of oppression are women of color and indigenous people. When people say, well, is there people in America who have been hurt more than people of color? And I'm saying, yeah, that's the Native Americans here, and they're all dead or on a reservation. And if we don't understand the connection that we are on the reservation in inner cities, and when just as they do with the indigenous people, when they move them to a reservation and then say, hey, that's good where we moved them, they move them again. And here we are in our reservations in the inner cities, and then they say, hey, that's good. So they call it gentrification, but it's moving us to another reservation. They move us out. If they like the land where we are, they take it. Why are they able to do that over and over again? They're able to do that because we have no power, and the people in general have not been able to unite because they have used race hate to keep people divided. And this is one of the things we have to cut through. But we have to remember, as a sharecropper said to Martin Luther King, you have to be careful about nonviolence. Nonviolence can get you killed. And we're coming up on the 4th of July, where every American supports and is respectful of celebrates the use of arms for liberation, but yet they tell us, oh, no, that's bad. And I hear you say, time after time, that you have to be ready to take a bullet in this. Not only must you be ready to take a bullet, you must be ready to give one. That's what self-defense means, and it is a human right. It need not be discussed. And if people want to dehumanize you, that's one thing, but we cannot dehumanize ourselves by denying ourselves a human right. And I say, as this struggle becomes more powerful, more international, widespread in the United States, we must remember the leaders that brought us to this point. And every week I'm pushing follow the example of Reverend Pinckney. Support those who have supported us. Remember Lynn Stewart. And I say this to you, know, from the bottom of my heart. Lynn Stewart has to be there to hear you pray, and she's going to be better. We beat that first devil, which was the government, to get her out. Now we have to beat the second devil, which is cancer, which will keep her alive. We need that voice with us. I need her to say, remind me of the things that you have said over the history of your struggle. And we need all of our people out of these death camps. Remember, death camps, the euphemism is prison, but if you're a political prisoner, when they put you in, they kill you by denying you medical treatment. And as our political prisoners get older, Leonard Peltier, 33 years in jail, and we can go on and on, Jan Lahman in Massachusetts, across this country, we know their names. And we have to get on and sign the petition, as we're going to sign the petition for you on change.org. We're going to have to recognize these names and let our voice be heard as one strong voice. No to this government about everything. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to people. And someone else wants to say something.
Hello, Reverend Pinckney.
Well, hello, Lynn Stewart. How you doing?
How you doing? I'm doing okay. We have
you sound good.
I'm good. You sound very good. I mean, considering what you've been through, you sound terrific. But I
it's all part of the war.
It is all part, and more was lost in the war than we can ever mend. So let's us keep up the good work and win our war. I guess
all right,
say,
yeah, you got it, Lynn Stewart.
Okay, I admire you and all of your work and what has happened and the ongoing struggle. I mean, it never stops, and we can never stop. And I know you are really symbolic of so many. You know, we like to, Larry Pinckney quoted Maurice Bishop. Well, you're a Maurice Bishop for America because you stood up against a giant corporation and said no. And when that happens, let me tell you, the wheels grind to a stop. And if we all did that, if we all said, no, we're not going to do it, we're going to be winners in this thing. We've got to be winners. And I just want to say how very much I admire you. And I want to urge everybody, go to change.org. It's right on your computer. It takes 2 minutes. It's painless. You sign the petition. You put your name on. If you don't want to sign your name, make a fictitious name up, but sign up and say, Reverend Pinckney must be free. He must continue his struggle. And I thank you, and I thank you on behalf of all of us, Reverend. I really and truly do.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you so much, Lynn. And Ralph, tell Ralph, after the show, I want him to call me.
I certainly will, and I'm looking forward to that conversation, Reverend. So keep up the work. Keep it going, and I will speak to you a little later, and I'm going to listen in for the rest of this program.
Sounds like a winner, Ralph. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And say hello to Mary.
All right. That was my good friend, Lynn Stewart, along with Ralph Pointer, her husband, who's been fighting this war for a very long time. But now I got to bring on my good friend from California himself, the attorney, Mr. Fine. Mr. Fine, are you there?
Reverend Pinckney, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. I'm taking it one day at a time.
Well, first of all, before I start talking, Reverend Pinckney, can you give us either the PayPal number or the place where we can send the money?
You can go to bhbanco.org. That's a PayPal right there. There's a button right there to donate. That's bhbanco.org. That's Banco, B-A-N-C-O. bhbanco.org.
And that's .or, not O-R-G.
O-R-G. That is correct.
.org. Okay, can you repeat that one more time so everyone can get that?
It's B-H-B-A-N-C-O.
ANCO.org. And you can go
That's my website.
You can go there and donate, because we need $1,500 as soon as possible. Those who can afford to do it, please do it. If you can't, we're not mad at you, because this is, you know, this is all part of it, but we're here for you anyway. But we need the money in order to continue this fight.
Okay. And that PayPal can take money off of credit cards and debit cards, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And they can take money directly from bank accounts.
That's also, they could do that also.
Okay, so any way we want to give it, they can take that money.
They sure can.
Okay, that's good. I wanted to get that out so everybody knows that there, any way you want, any way we want to give the money, you know, that PayPal can take it.
Hey, and that's important too, because you know we're fighting and we're not giving up and we're not quitting.
Okay, good. Now, let's get on to some other stuff, Reverend Pinckney. You're our hero. There's no question about it that you are doing what is necessary to get things done and to make sure that all of us are free, and I just really respect you for that.
Hey, thank you.
So, okay. Now, we have one thing that's coming up. You know, everyone, I don't know how many people realize this, but July 1st is the time of the year. It's the end of the fiscal year for all governments. And interestingly enough, it's also the fiscal year for governments to pass budgets. Now, last week, you know, we were talking about my campaign for judicial integrity and the fact that we got two out of our three people who took our pledge into the November primary. This week, what I'd like to do is to spend a little bit of time talking about how we can actually stop a lot of these illegal payments to the judges in a lot of counties, and in particular in California. And I'm going to give you an example of Los Angeles County just to show you how this happens. In L.A. County, on the proposed budget for 2014 to 2015, they're going to be paying out approximately $29 million next year illegally to the judges. They'll be paying that to about 430 state judges that are sitting in L.A. County. Now, the interesting thing is that we can stop that. And we can stop that by basically just picking up the phone and calling the L.A. County Supervisor's offices and telling them, look, take that part out of the budget. And you find that part under the trial court funding section in the L.A. County budget. And that is found in Volume 1, pages 58.1 to 58.4. So you're looking at one phone call, takes less than 2 minutes. You call each of the supervisors, and you tell them, take it out of the budget. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's really interesting here. You know where they get this money to pay these guys, and they admit it in this budget? They get it through the fines and traffic tickets that they impose upon the people. So the judges that are sitting there that are getting paid by L.A. County with all this illegal money are imposing court fines and traffic tickets upon the citizens. How much money do you think they're imposing each year? Take a guess.
How about $20 million?
How about $131 million?
Whoa. $131 million?
If you go to the trial court funding part of the budget, you're going to see that the fees and costs and traffic fines are $131 million. So these guys got a wonderful racket going. They're imposing $131 million of fines and costs and traffic fines upon the people. From that, they get paid $29 million. And then they use the rest of it to go in and pay what is called the maintenance of effort, which is the amount of money that the county pays the state to take care of their share of the court costs. Now, something very interesting. That is unconstitutional. There's a case out there called Toomey versus Ohio that says that a judge can't take part of the money that he collects on traffic fees and costs, and traffic fines and fees and costs for his own benefit. Totally unconstitutional. But if you go to this L.A. County budget, you're going to find all this laid out right then and there.
Mm.
So there you got it. Straight out scheme. Now, this is probably happening. I didn't check out every other county, all the other 34 counties in the state of California that are doing this, but chances are you're going to see the exact same thing in every other county. So bottom line, if we want to get in there in the next number of days, today's the 22nd, you got 8 days to do it. If we want to get in there and stop all of this in 8 days, we get in there and just start making these phone calls. Now, there's approximately 800,000 people that are listening to this program right now, from what I gather. If all 800,000 people start making these phone calls, I would expect that those politicians are going to stop. I might be wrong, but I think if they got 800,000 phone calls, they'd be pretty scared.
Mr. Fine, do you happen to have that number?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the numbers of each of the L.A. County supervisors, but what you do is you go on the web to L.A. County Board of Supervisors or the Board of Supervisors for any county in California, and they'll give you their telephone numbers. It'll be right there. You can pick any county and just start calling in and tell them to stop the money that's going to the judges, because they have to do their vote before July 1st.
Wow, that's tremendous, too. That's, you know, it's good that people know that, because a lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's a very, very simple thing. It's something that we can do right now. It's the simplest thing going.
Okay,
that's step number one. Step number two is that we're now going into the November 4th election. Here's what's happening on the November 4th election. I'm going to use California as an example again. In California, 100% of the state assembly is up for reelection. 50% of the state senate is up for reelection. And every state officer is up for reelection. The governor, the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, the treasurer, the controller, the secretary of state, the superintendent of education, all of these people are up for reelection. Two candidates are going to be running in each of these races as far as the state officers are concerned, and two candidates are going to be running in every one of the other offices. Here's what we do. We get in there, and for each of these candidates, we hit them and we say, sign the Campaign for Judicial Integrity's pledge to eradicate judicial corruption. If one of them signs, we push that candidate. Now, we can get in there and require them to sign, because here's what's happening. All of the members of the state assembly and all of the members of the state senate have done nothing to pass our amendment to amend SBX 211, which would get rid of all the dirty judges. So you know that everyone that's running for re-election has done nothing to get rid of the judges. So unless they're changing their mind and putting in the amendment, you've got all these people that you know are going to do nothing, and you know that these people are already in favor of corruption. So now you've got the other candidates that are running. If they want to stand a chance of getting in, it's to their advantage to sign. If they don't sign, then you know you've got two people that are in there that are in favor of corruption. So we have to push to get as many people to sign and then work for those people that are signing. Don't donate to anyone that doesn't sign. Don't work for them and don't vote for them. That's step number two. We've got a lot of months now to do that. We've got from July through November. It's a lot of time, and a lot of time to get the word out. Step number three, and this is California is another example for this. By the way, this works in every state. Step number three, in August, you have people in California as well as in other states where you have judges that are running for re-election. Now, in California, we know that 90% of our judges are getting retroactive immunity from criminal prosecution for having taken these bribes. Out of that, we have three judges of the California Supreme Court who are running for re-election. One of them, Baxter, you know, was the person that wrote, he was on the Judicial Council that wrote SBX 211, so we don't want him around. Werdiger, who is may or may not be running for re-election, and the other one, Liu, was appointed in 2011. And although he may be clean in the one sense, I can tell you from me personally, when it came up to void out my disbarment and the state bar did not oppose that motion, Liu did not vote to void out the disbarment. So we know he's dirty. So as far as these three people are concerned, they shouldn't be reelected. We have a number of California appellate judges who are going to be going up for reelection. Now, we don't know how many of them are going to be registering in August, but chances are most of them will have taken illegal payments and get that immunity and therefore shouldn't be reelected. We want to watch out for them and then get in there and stop their reelection. Now, these are up and down campaigns or up and down votes, which means there's no one running against them. It's a straight yes or no. If 50.1% of the people say no, these people are out. So right then and there, this is the way that we change the judges. Well, if we knock out three out of the seven California Supreme Court justices, we only need to knock out one more somewhere along the line, and we've changed the entire composition of the California Supreme Court.
Wow.
I'm going to leave you. See how easy it is? I'm going to leave you with one thing. Remember, this is an off year. Very, very few people are voting. So we're into the Margaret Mead saying, which is never doubt that a small group of intelligent, dedicated citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. So what we have now got is a very, very simple thing. And Reverend Pinckney, you know, you and I, we've gone to jail. And we're going to keep you out from going another time.
Hey, that's the right word to use.
And basically, you know, we've stuck our necks out. We've done that. But that's been our personal choice. You know, and we're not asking anybody else to go to jail. Not a nice place to be. But what I think, and I think you're going to join me with this, what we are asking people to do is to exercise your rights and vote for justice. What we're asking, and I hope you're joining me in this, and I think you are, we're asking people to get out there and exercise your right to vote, because that's our power. That's the power that we have, and nobody can take that away from us. They're trying. They're trying the best that they possibly can to take that power away, and we're fighting them on every front. But the one way that they beat us is that we don't go to the polls.
If
we get in there and we go to the polls, we win.
That's right.
And what I've just gone through is a very, very simple formula. We do these things and we win. Now I'll leave you with one last thing. 100% of the United States Congress is up for reelection, and 33 United States senators are up for reelection. This is our power. This is where it stands. We go to the polls, we vote, and we vote, we push the issues that we want, not what they're telling us, not what the Republicans are telling us, not what the Democrats are telling us. We want a good judicial system, we get in there and we get people to sign the campaign's pledge to eradicate judicial corruption. We
All
want the right.
right
candidate there. We push what we want. We change the dynamic. And we
All
do
right.
it by getting in there and doing the things that we're talking about, by getting in there and voting, and by getting in there and getting to PayPal and getting that $1,500 into you.
All right.
That's where we're at. That's this week's sermon.
All right, Dr. Fine. I got to call you the doctor because you did your job. But listen, I got to let you go. But let you and I talk soon.
Okay, that we shall, Reverend. Okay, you take care. You have a good week. And I'll
and
talk
you
to you next week.
And you do the same. All right, now.
All right, God
take
bless.
Care now. Right. Let's bring on my good friend, my guy, Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinkney.
How's
everybody
How you
doing
today?
Oh, real good. As you know, we just got off a month-long trip running Pete Santelli's radio show from my motorhome, and what a great time it was because people are waking up in droves, and it's about time they wake up. But I want to make it to where a target individual becomes a household word, because if once we get the word out, which we're doing, then the people, that their program can't be effective. As effective once people figure out what they're doing, but there's a lot of Americans that are involved in this against the target individuals. So anyway, I'll tell you a little bit about our trip. Pete interviewed a congresswoman at the Veterans in New Mexico, and he interviewed her, and we had a great meeting there. And we're in Albuquerque. We interviewed a sheriff, and he brought on a state. Then he asked Pete, would you interview this state assemblywoman? So he called her and told her, get over, these people are just like us. They're trying to get the truth out. She was there in about 10 minutes, and we got to interview her. We interviewed another state assemblywoman from Nevada. So we had a great time. I was telling people about, especially the state assemblywoman from Nevada. She said that she came in to Pete. She was mad. She said, they followed me out here with three state troopers, followed me out here. And she laid her envelope down. She said, Pete, I want you to document this and put it up on your website. I got a package from one of her constituents, and she said they cut off the return address on it. It had $200 in cash. They took the cash out and transferred it over to postal money orders and charged her $1.75 each. And then she said, I want this all done. She said, I don't know what business the post office has got. She said, they took a letter out because nobody sends me money without sending me a letter or telling me what to do with it. So I told her, well, welcome to my world. She said, what do you mean your world? I said, you're a target individual now. She said, well, I think I've been targeted, but how does that work? So I gave her all the DVDs, paperwork. I gave her Aaron and Alexis, and she couldn't believe that he had contacted our group 2 weeks before. So I gave that to two people, and both of them, they couldn't believe it. So the word target individual is going to become more relevant to everybody. As a matter of fact, Pete and I is going to start a Friday night show called Mind Matrix. Amy Anderson's going to be hosting that. So if anybody wants to get a hold of her, she's probably going to need some help on, he told her she had to get somebody to sit on with her and help her, you know, screen the calls or whatever. So they can talk to Amy on that. But then there's a guy named Luca. He's coming on GMN. And it's Gun Glory, Gun Something, God Guns and Something Else is what he calls himself. He's Italian. I told him about it. So he wants, on the 29th, Amy and me both are going on his radio show, and we're talking about it. So we are getting the word out, and we had a very good time. It was an expensive trip for me because I got into Barstow. I blew an inner tire out on my motorhome, and I called a friend of mine. And he told me, no, change all six of them. Well, change six tires on my motorhome was $2,800. So before I got through, I spent a lot of money in that month, but I feel like it was well worth it because we met a lot of people we never got to meet out on the road. He probably interviewed 40 people while in my motorhome. He was set up with his studio. They sat on the couch. He had a microphone. And it's done very professionally. And all the TIs should be listening to Pete Santelli because he is trying to get the word out about what's happened to us. So if you got any questions, Reverend Pinkney, I know I went through this. Oh, on July the 5th, I'm going to be back down in San Diego because we got a Marine in the Mexican prison. And we went down there and Pete bullhorned him. We upload that on YouTube about that. But on the 5th, meeting at the San Diego Harley dealership, there's a big Harley dealership there, and this guy says he's going to have 10,000 motorcycles. So what we really want to do now, there's some of them just want to go down with force and go into Mexico and get this guy. I told him I think that's a bad idea. I think what we should do is block off the entrance going into Mexico so that it starts hurting their economy. And then local people down there, they're going to be screaming at their government to let this guy go because they're holding him for nothing. He didn't go there and do anything stupid. Going into Mexico, there's a road going in there. If you go past a certain point, you can't turn around. And you get trapped, and you don't even know you're in Mexico. Well, he got trapped there. He had 3 guns on him because he's a Marine. All of them was registered to him. They tried to come out and say he was smuggling guns. You don't smuggle guns into Mexico that are registered to you.
That's right.
So, and he's been down over 60 days, so we're hoping on July the 5th that we can start doing something to get him out before it gets too crazy because the American people are getting tired of what's being done to us.
When we start talking about
going into Mexico with guns to release one of their boys out of the military, we're going to have some problems. And maybe that's what it's going to take for the American people to wake up. I don't know.
Wow. All right, Ken. Listen, thank you for the update. Hey, so, you know, y'all, you and Pete Santelli having a great time. That's the most important thing, and spreading the word about the TIs and getting it done. But listen, I got to move on, Ken, but listen, stay in touch, and let's talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. Let me bring on Steve. Steve from California, are you there?
I'm here. I've been listening, and this is a compliment for you. You sound like a prophet from the Old Testament. I love your show.
Oh, well, thank you there. You know, we got many, many, many listeners, but, you know, I think we're getting ready to go over that million mark pretty soon, so I'm looking forward to it. I was gone for about 6 weeks, and I think it hurt us a little bit, but we had some of the best people on that was handling the show while I was gone that you could ever ask for. But unfortunately, I wasn't there. Sometimes people, when I'm not here, people don't want to listen. But we're there. But listen, talk to me about you, Steve. Tell me where you want to take us.
Well, I was there nose-to-nose, face-to-face with the BLM and the Sheriff Highway Patrol and the police at the Bundy Ranch. It was actually a very historical moment using the cell phone and properly using open carry arms in accordance with the laws of Nevada. It was like the pen and the sword. It was the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, and actually set aside all of the baloney from the media, watching that operation unfold and backing the BLM, the sheriff, the police, and the highway patrol down into behaving properly with citizens peaceably assembled to petition the government for a redress of grievances. I'm a former Marine Corps officer. I was enlisted. I was an officer. I served in intelligence in Vietnam. I was fluent in Vietnamese. I'm an expert in cell warfare, guerrilla warfare. I took all those skills and I transitioned them now that I'm one of the top experts in the state of California. Ken, you who wants to do that operation to save that Marine down in Mexico, you need to contact me. I am one of the top experts in the state of California on organizing education, First Amendment educational outreaches. I sued in the federal government at least 11 times. I have won 10 out of 11 times. And I can put together a deal for Ken to save that Marine down in Mexico where we lawfully, legally meet. And we can stand on the sidewalks there before you enter into Mexico, and I will have police protection there for you. I've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. So you can contact Reverend Pinkney, and that's what I do.
Wow, that's tremendous, Steve. That's tremendous. So you was right there at the, you know, Ken was at the Bundy Ranch also. Him and Pete Sankelly.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were down there. Matter of fact, Ken been down there twice. He's definitely a real trooper and a true soldier. We call him John Brown. So he's definitely involved with everything, and I'm going to give him your number so he can contact you.
Good.
Also.
Good, yeah. John Brown's one of my favorite characters, the guy that precipitated the Civil War and saving the black people. Yeah,
yeah,
that operation of Bundy Ranch was really fascinating. It was about, I would say, 30% of the gentlemen there were former veterans and a lot of Army and Marine Corps infantry. And it was really interesting watching how quiet we were and yet how determined. We all knew we could not shoot. We all knew we had to follow the law, which we did. And there was twice there where I thought it was going to turn into open shooting. The police made a mistake. It was an honest mistake. And they were protecting us on the freeway there, and they started to move aggressively in towards us. And one old veteran, he put his hand on his pistol, and he put his left hand up in the air, and he says, "Is it your intent to fire on us American citizens? If so, we will return fire." There was about 15 or 20 of the police at that point in time. There was at least 400 or 500 of us standing around there. And to the police's credit, they obeyed the laws of the land. And that's, you know, that's how the First Amendment and the Second Amendment are supposed to work together. And it did. And in fact, what happened was we actually, when the police put their hands in the air, like they were surrendering, and said, "We're sorry, no, we're here to protect you. We're sorry we gave you the wrong picture. We're here to protect you, to close down the freeway." And then the veterans moved in among and surrounded the police, highway patrol, and the sheriffs. And the sheriffs were good little boys, and they did everything that, well, it was interesting watching the First and Second Amendment actually working and backing down later on the BLM. And I think it'll in 50 to 100 years, it'll be a very, very important moment in the American history. And from listening to you, all the stuff that you're doing following Dr. King and your battle that you're doing up there, which is really sad. It's a unlawful use of the law, as it says in 1 Timothy 1:8, how the judges are corrupt and all these evil, wicked people come out against a bona fide Christian patriot like yourself. I really admire you for what you're doing.
Well, you know, it's not just me. You know, we got
Amen.
Folks all around the country that stand up and fighting, and we just have to do it. And I'm really, really impressed with the people at the Bundy Ranch who actually took a stand and just making law enforcement do the right thing.
Amen.
That's basically
what
you have to do. And, you know, Pete Santelli came here, and what he did was that he went and he called the sheriff up. At that time, I was under house arrest. And he asked the sheriff, was he a constitutional lawyer? I mean, a sheriff. And
sure.
He said, yes, he is. He said, well, then you have the authority to go get Reverend Pinkney and bring him to this rally. And blew his mind.
Correct.
He never thought for a moment that someone would come in, especially from California, and say those things to him because they're not used to being challenged on that level.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you go out, like it says in the Bible, if you just go out in twos and threes, you may not know what you're doing at first, because I began doing this about 15 years ago, and believe me, I was so inept, I didn't know what I was doing. But very quickly, I learned and adapted, which I think is why Jesus said you need to go out in twos. And if you don't like something in the United States, you, as long as you peaceably assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances, bingo, you're in and you can do it. And so Pete sounds like a really smart guy, and I'm looking forward to meeting him, and I know you are. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. If you don't challenge, you're not going to win. It's like playing poker. If you're not going to call the guy's bluff, you ain't going to win. So as long as you're doing things lawful, which in the state of California, I'm one of the top experts in organizing First Amendment educational outreaches. All the city attorneys, district attorneys in California know me, respect our group, which is Concerned Citizens for the First Amendment. And we have a team of three attorneys, and boy, I'll tell you, they're aggressive, good Christian attorneys, and they are really good. And it's, again, it's not your capability, it's just your ability. Just get out there and do your job.
You know what? I like that too. And sometimes we have to make them do their job.
You see,
absolutely,
and I think that's one of the most important things that we can do. But listen, Steve, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want, but I think you should also connect with Attorney Fine. I'm going to give you
his
number.
Yeah, I heard his name. Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
Yeah, he's excellent, and I think that you should connect with him, and
absolutely,
you know, start this connection. And I got a guy out in Arizona too that I'm going to give you.
We'll
talk later today, so I can give you some of these guys' numbers so you can call. But listen, you got 2 minutes to say whatever your heart desires. And also, I want you to get your group to go to change.org and sign my petition. That's crucial. We want to get enough people going. I'm planning on having about 10,000 people sign that petition, and they're going to deliver it to Barron County for us. So it all appears to be working out just the way I want it. But I don't have a whole lot of time, but you go right ahead. You got 2 minutes.
I'm taking about 30 seconds because what you're doing is so good. Yeah, we the people, when we want to, we can come together, petition the government for redress of grievances, First Amendment. We're the only country in the world that has ever had a written First Amendment. And they are trying to do, Republicans and Democrats, Democrats and Republicans are trying to destroy that all day long. So just go out, push and shove, doing what you're doing, which is the most patriotic thing you could do, and you're doing it for your children, your grandchildren, and those others. I thank you very much, and I've spoken enough. God bless you, brother.
Hey, Steve, let's talk soon.
We will. God bless you, man.
All right, all right, all right. Hey, thank you so much, Steve, for that. That was beautiful. Let me bring on my good friend from Philadelphia, Gloria. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, Gloria. I'm here, Reverend.
All right, there
here.
You go. There you go. I got you now. I got you. How you doing, girl?
Okay. I am doing great because I'm planning to travel to the West Coast on behalf of APACT, African People Against Covert Technologies. They're having a Juneteenth program in Richmond, California, where Amy Anderson lives. And she is quite a warrior. We have the backing of the assistant mayor, was the captain of police. We have a security company involved. So we're going to have a big turnout next Saturday, and I'm going to be there.
Hey, that's beautiful. Gloria, that's so wonderful. I'm glad to see you traveling like you do. You make me very proud of you.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, you know, you are such a role model that how can you not do that? You know, I'm just like, well, how can I not do this? So I just do it. The Creator makes the way, and I do it. So now what I'm going to read about today is the British Royal Society releases papers warning of coming neurological weapons. I mean, they're using head weapons. In a rare move, Britain's Society, its premier science institute, has released a paper warning the scientific community about the dangers of engaging in neurological research that could wind up being used by various military entities to create weapons that could be controlled by the mind alone, allowing for as unimaginable new ways for soldiers to kill their targets on the battlefield. The idea, says the authors, is that weapons that could be controlled by the mind would be more accurate than anything we use today, much as a robot controlled by a surgeon can be more accurate due to the absence of shaking and other physical human movement. If a soldier could control a stationary weapon with his or her mind, the precision with which they could shoot would be greatly improved. They also suggest that advances in neurosciences could even lead to pharmaceuticals that could be used to provide altered states of reality for soldiers, alleviating them from having to experience the horror of war, even while in the midst of it. And if that's not enough to say that ongoing research, looking into ways to improve educational methods could lead to mass programs for training soldiers on how to behave in the field. Much of what the authors write about can be taken in one or two ways, of course. For those who see military advancement as a good thing, adding neurological components would be boon. For those, on the other hand, who see developing such technology for the express purpose of killing other people more efficiently, effectively, and with less chance of loss of life for the inflictor, seems more like something that should be contained to the movie theater, and is precisely why the Royal Society has chosen to take the momentous steps, because its members believe that science should be about advancing our species and not extermination. Thank you for listening.
And Gloria, thank you so much for that information. That was tremendous. And I'm hoping that people understand exactly what you read, because that was off the chain.
Well, Reverend Pinkney, what I read is, okay, the pharmaceutical companies are so huge now, they want to keep adding more pills. So now they're going to give a soldier, a 19, 20-year-old boy, that's how I look at it, a pill. And he won't remember anything. He'll just go out there and shoot, and that's it. And that's not right. That's not life. We don't need war. People that are running the wars are Halliburton, which is run by Dick Cheney. That's
mm-hmm.
why when Obama didn't go rushing over to Iraq, Dick Cheney wrote him a letter. How dare he?
Mm-hmm.
How dare he? Because he's Halliburton. They have the water, they have the boots, they have everything. So we have to shut down. And another place we can boycott is Walmart.
Absolutely.
Walmart.
And, you know, something important, see, Dick Cheney's telling Obama, don't mess with my money. See, and that's what he's telling them, you see, because he probably be selling arms not only to the United States, but also to both sides of the fence. So we're dealing with them. Listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to change.org, and I want you to sign my petition, and I want you to send it out to Amy and everybody else, and make sure everybody signs, especially my TIs. So I want everybody signing.
Definitely.
And also, number two.
I'll get in touch with Derek, and we'll have it on, we'll put it on
very
the
good.
Webpage.
And that's what I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. And also, I need to raise $1,500 within the next 4 days. So if, you know, anybody who's willing just, you know, I know money is tight, but whatever they can give, $10, $15, $20, anything would help at this stage.
Well, I will sure start calling and asking.
I appreciate
you'll
you, my
get
girl.
It.
Listen,
you'll
I
get
will
it.
Talk to you soon. Stay in touch. All right, my good friend Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there? Hello? Dorothy? Okay, let me move on. All right. Edward, are you there?
Yes.
How you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great show, man. I really enjoyed listening to all the speakers. It was just... it's getting better and better. People, good people are coming and talking, and it's very important.
Well, we're back to our old self again with the listeners. You know, I'm expecting to have a million listeners within the next 4 weeks.
Well, you've taken it to, actually, I see it a much improved show even than before. The emotion and everything that is coming out of the show and yourself with a calmness and a surety, yes, that yes, they are and have an agenda that isn't in our favor. And they're using every means possible to literally, as one of your speakers spoke, exterminate us. And it isn't just talk. These people are sick in the head, the few at the top, for some reason. I don't know why they have to be sick. If the people at the top of the world that were pulling the strings could have decent mentality, this world could be heaven on earth. But these people are perverted. They're distorted. They distort our medical. those doctors aren't trained properly. That's why nobody gets well. I always tell people, Reverend Pinckney, I always tell people that when they used to argue with me and tell me, I have my doctors, like my father said, I learned. I tell them, that's why you're in the condition you're in. Because of your doctors, they don't know anything. And I've been taught that as well by very intelligent individuals. The same way you're meeting all types of individuals that have knowledge and little pieces are coming and tidbits because nobody knows it all. Some people know more than others because they've gleaned it from many other intelligent individuals, and that's the important thing. It's not that you or I are any more intelligent than anyone else. It's where do you focus your attention?
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%, Edward. And, you know, what you're saying is so important because I tell people all the time, you know, everybody, I mean, you don't know everything, you know, regardless. I don't care how smart you think you are. You don't know everything. You know, there's always somebody who knows something about something that you don't know about. So that's why it's important for all of us to come together and stand together and fight this monster. And you know, Edward, this is something that we can do. Edward, what would you like to talk about today?
Oh, well, I don't know. I really loved the show. I'll be honest with you. A couple of those speakers on there, very, very intuitive individuals. They know what's going on. Their eyes are wide open. We're facing a conspiracy that is so massive that the people can't even believe it exists, as Herbert Hoover, he ran the FBI, remember, for four decades. He ran how many presidents? It was amazing, and he controlled them all with files he had on them. Well, it's no different than today. The whole thing has been corrupt forever. People think that anything is going to be it's just worsening, and they're being more blatant, and they are evicting everybody from their homes on foreclosure. They're assaulting them in the markets. Look at how many people are sick. Look, Reverend Pinckney, isn't it true that everything you do in this world is for a purpose of actually feeling something like good, feeling fulfilled, feeling happy, feeling joy? Just everything we do is aimed for that because that's what we want out of life.
Here in America, that's what we want.
Everywhere around the planet, it's the exact same thing. If everyone just wants the most amazing feeling because we are a body that is like a feeling machine, and the greatest feeling of all is us, the being. The living truth is the highest truth of all. It's not some ink and pages that people are reading. It is you that without which your breath, without which we wouldn't need to talk or listen. What the heck? We take our breath for granted, and we take that feeling and try to get it from this world and wring it out of this world. It's not there. Fulfillment is feeling the being that you are. When your health is diminished by heavy metals, by poisons, toxins, pesticides, fluorides, chlorines, whatever you're putting in your body, radiation, what are they doing to us? It's almost unfathomable. So when your health is diminished, you're not in touch as clearly as connected to that being that you are so that you can have that vibrant joy in your life, which is all we want anyway. Between you and me, Reverend Pinckney, if you could bottle that feeling, that joy, you know the bubbles I get sometimes when people tell me, thank you, Edward, you saved my life, or you helped me reverse, thank you so much. And the feeling I get these like bubbles go up and down me, you know, you feel like seltzer water. You ever feel that, like a release of energy inside of you?
Absolutely. Every time I help someone or save someone or keep them from going to jail, I get excited.
Yes, and you feel these bubbles. Well, you can keep them going if you take a deep breath, because I'm feeling them now talking about them. And it's a beautiful feeling. The truth is, if I could bottle that feeling, everybody give me all their money everywhere. Because that's what really everybody wants out of everything. It isn't about money. It never was. For many thousands of years, people have known how to reverse their health and just live in joy in harmony with the nature and the life. Well, there's a few people at the top that don't want us to live like that, and they're not very nice. The people that own those pharmaceutical companies are so wealthy. It is the wealthiest men on earth that own the stock in those companies. They're corrupting everything, man. We don't stand a chance. The truth is, between you and me, Reverend Pinkney, we have paperwork drawn up with 21 nations right now that are going to be a part of an association, a health association, where we bring in everyone that is a practitioner in health that's not along with the American Moron Association or American Murder Association, the AMA. Everybody's heard of it. They just never heard it talked like that.
Mm.
So the association is like a policeman's association and a sheriff's association. It makes them powerful. It makes them strong and the same thing. And instead of having public that they're going to be treating, so to speak, or teaching how to, or reversing their dysfunctional health, they'll all be associated with part of an association. They'll be members and belong. The laws change on the international level when you get out from underneath statute and code that all the liars were taught. In the UK, they pronounce it liars. Remember I told you that I was told also that where the word attorney came from?
Right, absolutely.
From French.
Uh-huh.
Attorney means one that deceives. I was explained this, and this is the exact what's going on in there. That's what's going on in the courtrooms. I have a 9-minute video of a black woman, a lawyer, and she breaks down the fraud in the Van Nuys courts beyond anything you can imagine, just like that man was talking about today. She breaks it down. You got to watch this video. Oh, my God, I got to send it to you. When you see it, your jaw is going
to
hit the floor, man. I'm not kidding. This puts it exactly right, exactly shows them funneling off all that money since 1962 to a room 119 downtown and using the EIN number of the county to avoid paying taxes while they're collecting two checks, all the judges. And Judge Farrell, the ugly one, he'd like if I was talking about him. Boy, he'd want to shoot me. Anyway, he owns the companies where you go to for family court when you have when you fight amongst your wife and your husband and you have to go for therapy. He owns
domestic.
The companies,
domestic.
Yes, yes. So they got to go for therapy. Well, he owns the company. And the corruption is much deeper. Oh, my God. They've been siphoning off millions from since 1960s, and it's none of it accounted for. Millions.
Mm.
And I'll show it to you.
That's what Mr. Fine is talking about. He said, we have to stop these judges. He said, we have to stop them. And he's right on point, too. Somebody got to stop these judges. Somebody got to stop these people before it's too late. The people got to rise up.
When you tell this to the average person that's listening to the show or anywhere, they're thinking, me, little me, I'm going to talk up to a judge? Are you kidding me? He sits up high on the bed. He wears black robes.
Mm.
Are you kidding me? Why do you think he wears those black robes? To be intimidating. Why do you think he sits up higher than everybody else? The whole thing is set up the way it is, and it's, the odds are in their favor, and plus, you don't know the law. You don't know it at all. But if you know a couple of little tricks, judges have a phobia. They don't like to be audited by the IRS, do they?
Yeah, absolutely.
They wouldn't like their bond leaned up either. What happens if you lean up a judge's bond?
Hmm.
He doesn't.
I
want to
know how to do that.
He doesn't get to practice law.
Mm-hmm.
How can he practice law without a bond?
Yeah.
Neither a lawyer loses his. They become just regular jerks, which they are anyway, maybe. Unless they're decent guys. If they're decent, that's it. Then they're on our side. They either are on our side or they're not, period.
Absolutely.
That's it. There is no in between.
Mm.
You bring me somebody, a financier for something, and we'll check them out. If they're part of the bad old boys, we'll know right away. We don't want nothing to do with them. We don't want them to finance nothing of ours.
That's it. Hey, Edward, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to move on. Go ahead.
Hey, why don't you go to a website, abchealth.info, and get the free ebook on the calcium bentonite clay. For thousands of years, it's been reversing everything, and I'll teach you more. put in your name,
okay,
email address, and you can get back an email that will give you the link to actually be able to go in there and read all the testimonials. Or you can call me at 818-613-9206. 818-613-9206. It's been fun, Reverend Pinckney.
All right, we'll talk soon.
You
all
better.
Right. By the way, Edward, don't forget to go to change.org. On that note, Dorothy, are you there? Dorothy, are you there? Okay, well, let me move on. Ross, are you there?
Yes,
I'm
here, and I'm so excited to be here. It was so informative. It was such a fantastic show. Reverend Pinckney, you are a hero to all of us. I think you are just such a gift from God for all of us, and I would ask everybody out there, first of all, to go to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and thank him for this wonderful opportunity and to bring all of us together and bring more of us together. Reverend Pinckney needs the money. Ask the Lord for the money. Ask him to open doors for him. Ask him for victory for all of us. I'm going to call Richard Fine. I want him to send me an email so I can e-blast it out about calling the supervisors here, about the judges. Steve Klein is a friend of mine, too. That was so great. Thank you for having them on. Also, can you send me the change.org, because I can't bring it up. I've been trying to while I've been listening to the show.
Will do.
Okay, great, and I'll e-blast it out. Okay, what I want to talk to is the usual that Los Angeles Unified School District, the second largest school district in the country and one of the worst, needs an independent investigation. They are killing teachers, purposely paying off judges, doctors, and lawyers to kill off teachers so they won't have to pay them, yet they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars buying iPads that are not really ready, do not have all the parts. In a few years, they're not going to be any good. And they're just into, it's a money train. And where do you think all this money's going? We're pretty smart. We can imagine. I wonder whose pockets the money is going to. They didn't want Stuart Magruder, the man on the oversight committee, there to bring up anything, to delve into what's going on illegal at the school district, so they wanted him off, but I think they finally put him back on. LAUSD needs an independent investigation. Superintendent Deasy, they bought the iPads. He got an extension on his contract with a raise. Charles Smith, a black man, is dead because they denied him his benefits to save money while they bought $100 million in iPads. And denying him his medical, paying him right, he died. I have to sell my house. I don't have any money. My health is deteriorating. They say I don't have a physical injuries, which they've already said I did. Now I have a psychological injury, number one, which that they paid it Dr. John Stahlberg $16,770, who said he hadn't seen me for years, didn't have the evidence for it, and got it from Judge Gerald Cohn. Judge Gerald Cohn is not a doctor. So I will now announce in the state of California, a judge can make a medical diagnosis and who's not a doctor, and you don't need a medical license to do that. I am only one of hundreds of teachers that have been injured. I'm one of thousands of injured workers across California. I'm one of millions of injured workers across America putting up with all the corrupt doctors, judges, and lawyers trying to kill us off so the insurance companies can make billions of dollars and they can put it into the coffers of people running for office. And these same people are so corrupt, they are destroying our lives. So everyone out there has to stand up and speak up and keep it up. Be that squeaky wheel. It's Dr. Deasy, the Queen of Death, the superintendent at LAUSD, and the Queen of Death at LAUSD is Dawn Watkins, the Disability Management Director. She is a Queen of Death. She doesn't care who she pays off to kill somebody, a teacher, and she brags about how she's saving money while LAUSD is out of control. And what happens to our children of all colors? They do not get the proper education. The students are just secondary to the money train, which I believe going into the pockets of these people. If it wasn't all the money and they're highly educated, they would be behaving in the right manner. And they're not. They're so corrupt, so criminally corrupt. The waste, fraud, and abuse at LAUSD is absolutely unconscionable when they kill off a teacher. And they made so many other teachers sick by denying them their benefits, medical, and paying them correctly. Most of us are losing everything. We're getting sicker as teachers and injured workers. We are going to be, we've been educated to teach, we've been educated to work, and now we have nothing. And this is what they want the population to be, it seems, to be nothing, to just be there for our handout. We're all going to stand up. We're going to take charge. We're going to unite together no matter what color we are. We're going to give our gifts. We're going to share our gifts with everybody, with education, with helping each other. And we are going to stand up and we're going to save us, because I have great faith in God that we can do this, all of us together. And thank you, Reverend Pinkney. God has given you this great gift, uniting us all together, bringing us to you and you helping us. You should be having the happy bubbles, like Edward says. You should feel so good that you have blessed so many of us and given us a chance to know that each one of us can succeed. I was laying on my couch, you know, with my knee and in such pain, and I'm thinking how stupid that people are so terrible, the people, if they're not the right color eyes, not wearing the right thing. Life is so short. It doesn't matter. We just have to get together and stand together in God's love and proceed out there. Everybody who can teach our children, teach them the basics. Forget Common Core. Forget the stupid tests that they bought to test them to. Help them learn the basics. Help them learn to write and read and do math and reach out in love and support. And we are going to make it. And help Reverend Pinkney, whatever you have, please help him. He's just a blessing to all of us. Thank you, Reverend.
And you're welcome. And those of you who are out there, we are battling, we are fighting, we are standing up for what's right. We definitely need your help and your support. I got to get to the appeal court. I cannot go to trial here in Barron County. If I go to trial in Barron County, most likely they will probably convict me, which I don't believe they can, but they can do anything here. But we need everybody to be on point and to stand up and fight. I need $1,500. So those of you out there who can afford to send a few dollars, please do so. Those of you who are out there who can afford to at least send a few dollars, hey, we're not asking you to send your rent money. We just ask you to send a few dollars. We need the money. And my attorney, he's been very, very helpful. He's been doing a tremendous job. But you know how attorney is. The word is attorney means liar, deceiver. So he's definitely got to have his money. But those of you who are out there, let's stand up and fight this battle. We have a corrupt prosecutor, Michael Sepik. Go to change.org, and I'm asking that he resign. I'm demanding that. I want people to sign that petition. Also, we have a corrupt judge who's working hand-in-hand with the prosecutor to convict me, trying to figure out a way to do it. So those of you out there, we need your support. We need your helping hand.
We need you to do these things. But on that note, I'll let Mary have the very last say tonight, and we can take it from there. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and I feel very certain that you will get the cooperation that you need from the people who will be glad to give the last $1,500 that is needed immediately for your defense. And I just want to say that individuals can go to bhbanco.org and give at the PayPal account. No, you don't have to have a personal PayPal account. PayPal is set up to be able to draw money out from you using a check or a debit or credit card. You can do that no matter what bank or credit union you belong to. PayPal can withdraw only the funds that you authorize, only what you authorize. You can give $10, $100, $1,000. What you give, it will ask you, what do you want us to deduct? And it will deduct only that amount. And so we ask you to please give generously to the Reverend Pinkney Legal Defense Fund. This is what happens when people stand up and speak out against oppression. You know it and I know it. It's nothing new in America. But what's new is all of this apathy. You've given up. You're sitting here and you've given up. You're not trying as hard as you should. But you know what? Even if your strength has failed you, strength has not some of us. Support those of us who are out here still fighting with our might. You know, the way I remember the old war movies would go is that if the person holding the flag would fall, somebody else would catch that flag before it hits the ground. So Reverend Pinkney has caught the flag, and he's running with it, and he's the one catching the fire now. He's catching the enemy's fire now, and he needs you to kind of help with that. He needs you to bear some of the brunt of that. He needs you to go ahead to bhbanco.org and put in a donation. And, you know, this could be something that you should do every month for BH Banco, not just when trouble hits. We need to make regular donations to our leaders, people who are stepping up and they're running with the flag. And when I say the flag, I mean the flag of justice, because I don't mean Old Glory. Old Glory has been mistreated so by the individuals who wave her around that I'm not even talking about Old Glory. I ask you also to please take a look at my blog, Free, F-R-E-E, Speak blog, Free Speak blog, S-P-E-A-K, Free Speak blog. There's a young man who needs your help. He goes to court on the 24th. Of June. His name is Mark Bowles, B-O-W-L-E-S. He's essentially going to be prosecuted for being straight. Yes, he is a heterosexual man who was attacked in Anoka County Jail by a gay man. And when he resisted being raped, he got beaten so badly that he has traumatic brain injury. He was beaten so badly. They did not prosecute the man who beat him. They didn't. They prosecuted Mark Bowles for inappropriate behavior that arose from epileptic seizures as a result of his traumatic brain injury. So please read that article. It's called, Can American Men Refuse Gay Sex?
All right.
Can American men refuse gay sex? Thank you, Reverend
All right, we just ran out of time. Those of you who are out there, please go to change.org and sign the petition. Let's get as many people as possible. We want 10,000 people signing that petition, and we're going to get it to Barron County, let them know that we know that they openly practice racism, and we plan to stop them. We know that they're corrupt, and we plan to stop them. We got a judge, Judge Sherratt, and we also got Michael Sepik. Let's get him. He's a known racist. So let's do what we have to do, and let's continue to stand up and fight. And on that note, let's listen to a little Harold Melvin and Luno.
There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh.
Yeah.